Teaching with the Brain and Mind. Author, Eric Jensen. The Real Impact. Let's acknowledge two fundamental facts. First, students who attend school from kindergarten through secondary school typically spend more than 13,000 hours of their developing brain's time in the presence of teachers. Second, their brains are highly susceptible to environmental influence. And more important, their brains will be altered by the experiences they have in school. As educators, we must pay attention to how we ask students to spend time with us. These concepts are fundamental to education, yet we often take them for granted. The following new discoveries about the brain, all of which have come to light during the past 10 years, all of which can have a revolutionary impact on the brain-based learning. Meet your amazing brain. You've heard for much of your life that the human brain is amazing. It's true. That soft, squishy blob between your ears is pretty amazing. Every day in classrooms, about the world, teachers are amazed by what the human brain can do, because exploring all the facets of the brain is beyond the scope of education. It's important to know about those three relevant and essential features. 1. Adaptability. The brain changes constantly. 2. Integration. Brain structures compete and cooperate. 3. Sophistication. The brain is highly complex. Applying what you know. As long as we are in the business of learning, the brain is relevant. Many studies present enough clear and solid information to be transformed into classroom practice. It's also a good idea to share information with your students about how their brains learn and work. Talk about how their lives influence their brain's adaptability. Help them make connections and acknowledge the complexity of the brain by allowing a wider range of what we call learning. To paraphrase Einstein, today's problems cannot be solved with yesterday's thinking. Allowing learners to think outside the box is a good occasional strategy. Talk to interested parents about the brain too. Rules we learn by. For years, educators assumed that if students paid attention, took notes, and did their homework, eventually they would learn. Although there's some truth to that assumption, at least for most learners, we now know that learning is governed by a more complex set of variables, some of which are the result of nature and others the result of nurture. The nature influence is actually quite significant. Genetics accounts for almost half of student learning and intelligence, but that leaves a huge chunk up to nurture. Yes, educators can influence learning to a great deal. That premise helps form the following learning tools. You have much, much more to do with how your students turn out than you may have thought. Engagement. The expression pay attention is appropriate. Attention is payment of the brain's precious resources. It requires that we orient, engage, and maintain each appropriate neural network. In addition, we must exclude or suppress external and internal distractors. Maintaining attention requires highly disciplined internal states and just the right chemical balance. Repetition. We've all heard that repetition is valuable. This notion is not outdated, and it belongs in every child's upbringing. Students simply must memorize the alphabet, multiplication tables, names, addresses, phone numbers, and many other things. The simple fact is that repetition strengthens connections in the brain. On the other hand, too much of the same thing can be boring to the learner. Excessive practice of a skill can become monotonous, so the repetition has to be interesting. The solution can be to use the principle of repetition, but under the guise of completely different approaches with varied timing. Pre-exposure. Pre-exposure is the process of covertly preparing students for a future learning of content or skills days, weeks, months, or even years before they are accountable for knowledge. Pre-exposure may be based on a skill acquisition, as when we prepared ourselves to eventually drive a car by driving a tractor, a go-kart, or a bumper car as a kid. It may also be based on semantic processes, such as vocabulary acquisition, as when we learned the words as a kid that we were allowed to use only when we were more mature. Priming. Priming is typically done minutes or even seconds before exposure to a learning event. It accelerates the understanding of concepts and gives the brain information to build into a more complex semantic structure or hierarchy later on. To get some value out of priming, merely requires some exposure to the intended target information. Students need simply to see or hear the relevant words. To get the maximum value out of priming, students need to name or use the primed word. Although experiments have shown a wide time range for effectiveness, priming will work whether you use it a few minutes before the formal session or several weeks in advance. Reviewing. reviewing can be a strict rote process or a more creative activity. The review process implies going over what the students have already learned. To make review activities more meaningful, involve the students by allowing them to develop their own simple ways to review the learning. Revising. Revising differs slightly from the other processes. It involves reconstructing the learning that was achieved hours, days, or weeks in the past, and it's critical to student performance. We use the word revise or reconstruct, not review, for a reason. Allow students time to continually revise and refresh their learning. What is reviewed is remembered. Input quantity. Educators are under considerable pressure to teach more and more content during the school year. However, expanding content through increased exposure benefits only one subject: language acquisition. To learn a new language, one ought to listen, speak, and read it as much as possible. In every other subject, more is not necessarily better. In the face of mandates from legislators and policymakers who add more to teachers' plates each year, somebody needs to stand up and say, "You can teach more and faster, but students will simply forget more and faster." Movement and learning. Strong evidence supports a connection between movement and learning. Evidence from imaging sources, anatomical studies, and clinical data shows that moderate exercise enhances cognitive processing. It also increases the number of brain cells. And as a bonus, it can reduce childhood obesity. Schools that do not implement a solid physical activity program are shortchanging student brains and their potential for academic performance. Emotional states. For much of educational history, critics have dismissed the roles of emotions in learning. The stable, dependable, so-called scientific path has been that of reason and logic. But our current understanding of the brain shows that these critics are out of step with reality. Mind and emotions are not separate. Emotions, thinking, and learning are all linked. The classroom and the school provide opportunities for endless emotional experiences, and students' brains will be altered by those experiences. How to influence emotional states? Emotions affect student behavior because they create distinct mind-body states. The presence or absence of norepinephrine, vasopressin, testosterone, serotonin, progesterone, dopamine, and dozens of other chemicals dramatically alters a person's frame of mind and body. Teachers who help their students feel good about learning through classroom success, friendships, and celebrations are doing the very thing student brains crave. Physical environment for learning. Environments do matter. Do what you can with what you have. If the only things you can modify are lighting, noise levels, and seating, begin there. Sometimes businesses are willing to pitch in and provide materials, supplies, or financial support for school or classroom improvement projects. If you don't have the funding, consider a partnership with a local corporation. Students to learn, grow, behave, and perform optimally. A smartly designed, high-performance environment is necessary. Take charge. Do your best to support students in their being their best by orchestrating powerful learning environments. Motivation. Instead of asking, "How can I motivate students?" ask, "In what ways is the brain naturally motivated from within?" Now you know. Rewards are natural to the brain, and states rule our emotions and behaviors. Start with meaningful, developmentally appropriate curriculum, and add learner choice and positive social groupings. Create the challenge. Build a supportive environment with compelling biases, and get out of the way. Brain-based teaching. How do we put together everything we know about the brain and learning? What does a brain-based classroom look like, sound like, and feel like? There's no perfect or best way to teach. But given what we know about the realities of teaching today, what you can and should do is aligned with the latest research. Consider the following module. Before class, pre-exposure. Begin by preparing for each class long in advance. Prepare yourself mentally, academically, and emotionally. Think about particular students who need extra help. Review the different learning styles adapted by your students. Prime their brains with the contents weeks ahead. And get yourself in a good emotional state. The physical learning environment. Your ability to change that has some limits. Focus on the greatest contributors to student success that are within your power to change. What you cannot influence, let go. During class. This is the most complex stage, consisting of 5 steps as follows. 1. Engagement. This is about engaging the mind and body. 2. Framing. This step is the part of your instructional day that focuses on input. It's when you orchestrate an activity and experience, a field trip, a guest speaker, or a simulation. Ideally, learning should have active components to it, and this is the time for it. 3. Elaboration. It's about deepening learning through integration and error correction. It's about students developing more comfort within and confidence in their learning. 4. Memory strengthening. At this point, students' knowledge should be accurate. Learners will develop their recall of the learned materials more in the first hour after learning than in the next few days. Use this time wisely. After class, settling time and rest. Taking time for breaks, walks, or lunch, or orchestrating the learning so that students complete an important learning task just before the end of class or the end of the day. Review and revision. Assume that your students won't get things right the first time, that they won't recall what they learned and what they got right, and that memories will deteriorate or get warped. You'll be right more often than you'll be wrong. Incorporate some revision time into every day. Remember, synapses are not static. They constantly adapt in response to activity.